Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Any conservative is somewhat of a domestic terrorist. They hide these facts. They go after Catholics under the previous administration. They were going after parents at school board meetings under the auspices of the Patriot Act, claiming they were domestic terrorists. Meanwhile, you have someone who's politically motivated who said, is this where the Republicans practice? And tried to kill everyone there. That was his stated goal. I play on the congressional baseball team now. I wasn't there then, but I've heard firsthand stories of how terrible that actually was. So, yeah, I mean, and by the way, this is also the same FBI, Rob, that, told that big tech companies in 2020 that the Hunter Biden laptop thing was a Russian hack and leak operation when they knew it wasn't true. They knew it was actually Hunter Biden's laptop. They tried to pre-bunk the story. So the point of all this is Kash Patel's there. We've got new leadership of the FBI. They need to absolutely clean house when it comes to these sorts of folks who are politically motivated and get it back to what its original purpose was, which was to take on violent crime. I think Kash is doing that. But this further amplifies the narrative that existed under the Biden administration and before that, quite frankly.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Well, Tyrus, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are grateful to have you here. Yesterday, there was some news announced from the White House with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel. 205 arrested in FBI child sex operation. I wanted to get your thoughts on what this administration, specifically with the law enforcement wing, how do you feel about getting to the bad guys and putting them away? Is enough happening?
I feel like I'm a little frustrated that this administration had to put so much emphasis on getting bad guys.
Yeah.
The last 4 years, apparently, it was the presidency. They always want to say, what do you think he was most famous for? I think he empowered criminals. Mm. He gave the bad actors all kinds of paths to no accountability. He opened our borders to a crime wave. So the fact that the Trump administration has been able to lock down the border, start rounding these guys up, start cracking stuff that clearly could be found is tremendous. And my hat's off to law enforcement who weathered a horrible storm, not just morally, but financially. And for them to come back strong when you give them a little dignity and respect, it's truly amazing what the American law enforcement officer can do when supported.
Yeah. Amen to that. We're speaking with Tyrus. He's a regular on Gutfeld, of course. His book, you got to check it out. Enough said. He's got Just Tyrus out as well. Get both of those. You're a busy man. You travel the country. You're doing shows all across America, and you're talking with real people regularly. Is your sentiment, we asked this question a little bit earlier in the week on one of our polls. People keep asking, like, oh, is this really what you voted for? Do you think is there a regretful Trump voter out there?
No. No, and this is exactly what I voted for. I have no problem with swinging for the fences and going out and trying to improve everybody's life. Are we going to get everything that we wanted? Probably not. Hopefully so. But if I have more faith in a president who's transparently telling me what he's going to do, doing what he says he's going to do, and I'm all for trusting the process. Is there risks? Will there be hard times? Yes, because we just went through 4 years of fleecing of the American spirit, of the American pocketbook, and the American moral code.
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. And the president hasn't really seemed to, through his campaign promises, set aside some things for later. He has put in place so many people within his cabinet and those working with those cabinet members to attack everything really all at once. And it seems to be successful. Going back to the arrests and Kash Patel at the FBI, Dan Bongino being added to that mix, Pam Bondi leading at the attorney general position. I particularly want to see more of this effort towards people who are participating in child trafficking and pursuing and working to, you know, their predators, essentially, on the internet. Parents are out of their own league because they didn't grow up with this stuff. What is your advice as a parent in this climate that we're in right now?
I think you have to, if you're not physically monitoring your children on the internet, they should not be on it. If your kid is hiding stuff from you on social media, you need to be well aware of whom they're talking to. And also, we need to also start looking at our politicians to see what are they going to do about making to where you have to have an ID to be on the internet. You can have as many accounts as you want, as long as all the accounts are traced to an actual person. So you would eliminate the sex trafficking when they pretend to be 13-year-old little boys and girls luring our children to meet at parks or restaurants or getting their home addresses or their parents' work schedule. Video game companies need to be held accountable for knowing damn right well that they have predators posing as children on there. So we need to see a comprehensive support, and I think this administration will do it. And I think the reason why they'll do it fast is because President Trump, he's not a fool. He knows that the opposition that we have to worry about is Republicans that are willing to take a buck or support something for campaign contributions and sell us out. So I think the reason why he has such a sense of urgency is when you say swamp, it's not just one-sided swamp. We've seen it. The Republicans who are willing to play ball with the progressives because it's financially beneficial to them. We need to get things done before those things can be those potholes are put in place in front of us.
Yeah. You know, you talked about being present with your kids when they're on the internet. You've mentioned video games and you know, social media apps. I don't think that really that parents are as aware as they need to be about the predators that we now know that Kash Patel is going after, what they're trying to get our children to do, how easy it is to get into some of these backdoor channels, into these apps, these games, to reach our kids. It's so filthy. It's so horrific.
I understand this. They're not, they're luring your children, then they're going to sell your children for sex, and then when they age out or they can't physically deal with the abuse anymore, they murder them. That's what they're going to do with your children, because you won't watch what's going on Roblox, because you won't watch who they're talking to on Facebook Messenger, or you let them sit there on TikTok and groomers and pedophiles are pretending to be in their age group, or worse, telling them how horrible their parents are. You know, that's what the whole point, that thing with the school used to, when schools were trying to enact a thing where you didn't have to talk to your parents and you didn't have to tell your parents if you were discussing gender and sex with teachers. Who did that really protect? It's not protecting the children. That's protecting the adult. You are literally protecting the predator from responsibility, because what is the number one target of every pedophile is to divide you from your parents, convince you just enough time to get what they want, to get your parents to be the enemy. Oh yeah, don't tell mom and dad, this is our little secret, and now you're having legislation and schools supporting that. I mean, it's just insanity. And we have to be better. We have to turn off our own TVs. We have to get off the internet ourselves. We also have to realize, listen, if every time you get on social media and you're like, I can't believe there's all these fake accounts trying to talk to me, what do you think they're doing with your kids?
Yeah. And they're good at it. They're ahead of the curve on it.
It is a $1 billion industry.
Yeah. It's terrible. And, you know, I think that you
I apologize for being so so blunt, but that's as real as it gets.
No, you need to be blunt, because I don't think that people really understand the gravity of it. And you've listed some, you know, like you said, Roblox and Facebook Messenger. These are places that a lot of people think are innocuous, that aren't going to be a breeding ground for people. But that's why the predators go to these places, because they're perceived as safe. And you've said this before on the show, and I like to have this conversation with you every once in a while, because I know you as a parent are engaged and paying attention to these types of things. But the easy thing to do is to hand over the tablet or the phone. The thing you have to put your energy into and the effort in is to show up and be a participant in the kid's life, and we need to get back to that.
Yeah, we have a lot of bad parents in this country, and I'm not pointing fingers. I take responsibility, because if anyone says, you know, I don't walk around saying I'm a great dad or I'm a good dad. I do the best I can with what I've done. I try to learn from mistakes, and I try not to push my own stuff on my kids. But we're human. But at the same time, we have a lot of parents that need to really check their responsibilities and their goals, because we have gotten so spoiled, so lazy in this country. But I'm sorry, and I think moms, we got to start holding moms account. Everyone likes to talk about deadbeat dads, dads aren't present, dads who aren't paying the bills and support. We also need to start looking at the moms who are not doing their part either. When you've got your hair done, your nails done, your makeup done, new boobs, and your kids got dirty shoes, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to start being more accountable, less worried about selfies on social media, and start raising our kids to be productive, accountable men and women in this country. And you know, that's just, and I know that's not a popular thing, because no one ever wants to, you know, take a look in the mirror, but I don't by any means walk around telling like, oh, I got all the answers. I make mistakes just like every other parent, and you try to own them and be better, but you also at the same time realize you have to sacrifice your own stuff. I might not be able to watch the Celtic game, I might not be able to watch the Red Sox game, I might not be able to, you know, do the things I want to do sometimes, because they didn't ask to come in this world. We brought them in this world, and it's our responsibility to protect them and educate them so they can take care of themselves one day.
No lies detected. Thank you, Tyrus, for being with us this afternoon. Love having you on here, and love the way you say it. It's direct to the point and very on the mark.
We need to be better.
Yeah, we do.
All of us.
Thanks, Tyrus. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Tyrus is a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, host of Maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick. I mean, this guy is all over the place. He's always hustling. He's touring the country. He's got a Tyrus Here and Now stand-up streaming special on Fox Nation. You can check that out as well. And check out his tour. You can find Tyrus pretty much anywhere if you look hard enough. His latest book is Nuff Said. Highly recommend. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what was going to be the biggest news of the day. I said off air to Ryan, Trump is probably thinking like the Pope, the new Pope, like 10 minutes after I announced my first trade deal. You got to be kidding me. There is a new tariff, a trade deal with the United Kingdom. We're going to welcome Taylor Riggs back on the show. She's the co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business to tell us implications of this trade deal. Does this get the ball rolling for future ones? Have you looked at your 401k today or your stocks today? I'm going to go look at mine at the break, and we'll talk to Taylor Riggs next. Don't go away. Yay.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
While Jameson and I worked hard, this was the president's deal. And people think, oh, that's not the way it works. If you got to sit next to him, I have the best deal maker to my left. And if you don't think that we take advantage of him calling the prime minister and getting that deal done, you don't understand who's the president of the United States. So he's the closer. He gets deals done that we could never get done because he understands business, he understands deals, and that's why we're here today. So
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick singing the praises, standing to Donald Trump's right in the Oval Office after they announce a major trade deal with the United Kingdom. What does that mean? Well, we need expert help on that. So we go to our expert friend, Taylor Riggs, joins us once again, the co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. Taylor, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, Secretary Lutnick there singing the praises of Donald Trump. What can you tell us about the details of this deal that has been billed as major?
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. I woke up this morning. I was like, gosh, I really hope it's India, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, you know, something that was a little bit of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, oh, gosh, is the market going to be let down by some measures? We have a surplus with the UK. Howard Lutnick, the soundbite that you played, I think, before or after that, he said, we're even if you exclude gold purchases. I was like, are we really going to be, what can we glean from this? Now, from the market reaction, it does seem like we can glean a few good things. First of all, this is a framework, maybe a template that other countries can use or they can pull details from. Second of all, this proves that Trump wants trade deals and he wants to get them done. And he is going to get them done. So this is good. This is what the economy, this is what the market wanted to see, that there is a path towards closure. Mm. So I see this as a direction of travel. More deals are on the way. This is one of many. Yes, this may not have been the biggie, but it shows that if you want to make a deal, we can. And I think that's why at least the market today is so excited about that, because it shows that this wasn't just throwing out numbers and we're just keeping tariffs at whatever number we want. It did interestingly show us, though, that we are keeping that 10% baseline tariff. I think a lot of people were wondering, are we taking tariffs down to zero? What are we doing? Howard Lutnick was very clear that this was a deal that's good for the UK and the UK worker, but it does also bring in revenue for us. So it shows the market that we're balancing that. And I think the market can absolutely digest about a 10% tariff. What we couldn't digest as an economy is a number like 46% or 145%, where people are looking at this and being like, oh my gosh, how do I make this work? So for me, my takeaway is this is a direction of travel, one of many. I think the EU and China, those are going to be biggies, but those are just going to take longer time.
Okay, we're speaking with Taylor Riggs, the co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. You can follow her on X at Riggs Report. So what I hear you saying is this is a framework. Other countries can look at this United States, United Kingdom trade deal and see what happened there and use it as a maybe a jumping off point for getting the job actually across the finish line in other places. You mentioned some big countries there that you were hoping that we would see who this might be. China is the big fish, as I understand it. Do you expect a deal to be done with China, or is it going to turn out to be deals done around China?
I think the latter. I think deals around China. I think the market's really excited that Scott Bessent is speaking with some Chinese officials on Saturday in Switzerland. That is absolutely a positive. But I love Larry Kudlow, who was economic counsel in Trump 1.0, anchors the 4 p.m. show Eastern on Fox Business here. We had him on our show, and he said that he had been in part negotiating the 2018-2019 deal with tariff deal with China. Guess what? They renege on all their promises. Mm. They haven't kept anything. So how do you, in full good faith, try to negotiate with a country that you know isn't going to follow it anyways.
Yeah.
That's what I think we're trying to figure out. He says they're still not following this stuff that he tried to negotiate with them. What was it now? Six years ago. So I think we care less about China, even though it's the big fish, certainly for big tech, it's the big fish, and Apple and NVIDIA. But the deals around China, I think if we could get India, South Korea, Vietnam, that's showing that we're isolating China by picking up their other countries in Asia. You know, Tapestry is a stock that I was looking at today. They make they're the owner of the Coach handbags. They said that they are insulated from tariffs because they manufacture in India, Cambodia, Vietnam, et cetera. And no country or vendor has more than 10% of their supply chain. So that's what like a well-diversified country looks like, and they're not really in China anymore. So if that's sort of a blueprint of what companies can do, and again, they're not manufacturing here in the United States, but is it better that they're at least at a proxy and not at China? And so I think the art of the deal has been, how do we bring people around China closer to us and away from them? Now, there are some loopholes. China can try to ship their goods to India to then ship them to us, right, to try to get around things. And that's where you have to trust that the administration is smart enough to sort of start to close those loopholes. But I think China's not going to be, I mean, probably not this year, right? I mean, like, China could be, I think the last deal, it took them 18 months.
Yeah.
I mean, so this could be the biggie, but it's going to be the big whale at the end of the road.
Okay. We're speaking with Taylor Riggs with Fox Business. She co-hosts The Big Money Show. If we're able to successfully work around China, I would assume that China would have to make moves of their own. Where does China go to if we've kind of built up a fortress around them in order to do business and to, you know, restore some economic balance for us and our country? Does China get pushed into some nefarious places to start to cover for that?
You know, you would think, oh, does China go to Russia or Iran? Here's the deal. China needs us. We consume 5 times from China what they consume from us. We consume $20 trillion worth of goods in a year. We are the global consumer. We are the people shopping. People in China aren't coming to America to shop the way that we are shopping in China. So without us, sure, there are other places China can go, but we're the big fish for them. They need us as the consumer to keep them afloat. You've started to see it. We were laughing earlier. There's been a few stories. One story that I loved in the Wall Street Journal is China hides all their data. So when they say their economy is growing at 5%, most economists think that's 2% to 3% above estimates. They've stopped publishing a lot of their data as well. They won't even now publish soy sauce production. They hide it. They take it off their website. They scrape it. So we don't even know what their economy is like. I think a lot of people would say, if you're not even showing us what your data is, it can't be good. We're hearing reports of riots in factories, people who haven't even been paid back pay, and now those factories are closing. I've heard there's 16 million jobs at risk due to factory closures, factory and exports and production out of China in the manufacturing sector is near the lowest that we haven't now seen since the depths of COVID. So this shows that they're getting hit a little bit more. Now, how much, I don't know, because we can't go to their country and they won't publish data. But when you start to see their central bank cutting rates, their central bank flooding the market with liquidity, their central bank injecting ₩1 trillion into their currency, that's telling me there's stress in their financial system, even though I don't have the exact data.
Right.
So that's a long way of answering your question, but they need us.
Yeah.
And without us, they're going to start to have some pain. And so they're going to maybe come to the negotiating table.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important to understand, you know, who holds the keys in a deal like that. And obviously, there's going to be a mutual benefit for doing business intra-countries. But it is important to understand that China does need the United States, that they don't hold all the cards. But then the question mark is how China will react. They don't really function the way we function. Their responsibility to the people is different than the American government's responsibility to the people. The other side of all of this, balancing out all of these trade deals with tariffs and everything, is what the president continues to talk about, is bringing manufacturing production back to the United States. In your assessment from the announcements that have been made, of course, there's pomp and circumstance made around these announcements, but have we seen, is there a measurable investment being made here on the homeland to bring manufacturing and production back?
Yeah, you know, I'm mixed on that. The White House has the figure at like $5 to $8 trillion that have been announced since he became president. Some of these are legit. I mean, you have like Eli Lilly, Merck, saying like, we're going to start building manufacturing pharmaceuticals. There's no reason we shouldn't be building our key cancer drug, Keytruda, from Merck, not in the United States. Let's open up and start manufacturing our cancer drug, our top-selling cancer drug, in the United States. So those are real tangible things. My worry has been always, I want to see the proof. I want to go 2 years from now and make sure that companies are breaking ground, that their permitting has gone through, that they are actually like posting job listings.
That it's real.
That, you know, right? I don't want another Wisconsin Foxconn situation where you have them fly over, they cut the ribbon, and now we have an empty land and nothing has been built for all the big factories that were promised. So that's going to take time. I mean, we know this, right? A factory could take 3 to 4 years. The number one thing going for us is this tax cut bill, where they have said that they want to do 100% total expensing, not just on factory equipment, but on actual factories. That's a game changer. The math is complicated, and I don't want to confuse your viewers. But if I can fully expense on my income statement or my balance sheet a full factory, I'm effectively writing it off.
Yeah.
So the tax implications of that just sort of incentivizes people to build. So the third part of that three-legged stool of deregulation and tariffs has to be those tax cuts bill and some of the details in that tax cut bill that I think will really help spur some of the manufacturing.
Taylor, last question before we let you go, because obviously what the president has wanted to do economically is incredibly bold. Unless you're saying that that certain elements of what he has campaigned on and promised are completely not going to happen, if he is successful the way he has committed himself to being successful, is this transformative for the future of the United States of America?
To me, this feels this way, because if I can grow at 3-4% GDP instead of 2 or 1.5% GDP, I've lowered my debt to GDP ratio. I've lowered my deficit spending relative to GDP. These are all those big numbers when we look at our debt, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we $30+ trillion in debt? Well, it doesn't have to be if you increase the amount of growth. You can grow your way out of it. And then, of course, if you tackle that with spending cuts, like coming back on spending. So again, if companies are serious, and they want to come back. And my worry is companies say, well, it takes 4 years to build a factory, and in 3 years, there's going to be a new president.
Yeah. Then
so
what?
What's the incentive?
Yeah.
That's why we need Congress to make the tax cuts permanent, not just a sunset clause in a couple years from now. That's why we really need to make sure that these companies understand that this is right for like the American economy long term, and not just a fun talking point until next midterms in 18 months.
Action, not talk, is what I...
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, I have just a ton of words here that we'll have to decide what the correct pronunciation of these words are.
You going to spell them for us and then we say them, or
I'm going to say it the way I say it, And then
we'll tell you if you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what I say.
Unlike usual.
I'm just going to go out there, say whatever I want, and then you guys are going to correct me.
And this is from what?
It's actually from Parade, once again.
All right. You a big fan?
I'm a huge fan of Parade. I used to just love getting the actual magazine in the newspaper. The feel of it, the size of it, loved it. Number one, tomato.
It is not tomato, although my Australian grandma would say tomato.
Is that a dialect thing?
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's an Australian thing?
If you're from America, you're saying tomato.
I've never heard anybody even outside of America say tomato. So that's a thing.
My grandma would have said that.
British people, I've heard them say tomato.
Well, that's inappropriate.
Ooh, did you hear how he said that?
He said it very formally.
Yeah.
All right, so we know that one. Number two, horror versus horror.
Oh, yes. Horror.
Horror.
No, yeah,
that was a foul word, Brad.
I'm a horror.
I needed a little extra more second syllable.
Horror.
Is horror,
horror
a...
No, I can't say it anymore.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah.
I think my dad would say that, and it would bother me.
Sounds like a Midwestern thing. The OR becomes an AR.
Yeah, like and Northern.
Farty far.
Yes, exactly. Why do we do that, by the way? Is it because that's a Northern thing?
Well, it's a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, but the
no,
further...
No, that's the farty far is not Northern.
It sounds like a Minnesota accent, mm-mm, but just on a few words.
Yeah, that's not Northern. That's super St. Louisan, to the extent that I think it stops at the Mississippi River. I don't know very many of like my Illinois folks that say that the way Missouri ones do. I don't know.
I don't either. Okay, we're getting into real dividers of people here.
Horror.
Horror also, not
horror.
And
honestly,
horror.
I think there are many times when you have said in some scenario where we're doing a segment on the air, you've said horror, and I always say horror, just to emphasize the second syllable.
Because if you slur through it, it's like, oh,
sounds
man,
like
what
it starts
a horror.
With a W. Yeah.
What movie. A horror, what
movie.
A horror show.
Yes. Okay, moving on.
All right. These are the real ones now. We're getting into the nitty gritty. Data versus data.
I'm a data person.
Are you?
Yes.
Data, yeah.
I am too.
Data sounds kind of smug.
Yeah, it's
pretentious. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you're a data person, you drink fine wine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You probably are like one datum.
Not Southern comfort like this girl. Go on.
So we can drink some whiskey and crunch some data.
I want to be with those people.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't want to be with the data people.
Nope. Drink some fine wine. Crunch some data.
You said we have 60 of these?
There's tons.
Going on.
Pecan versus pecan.
Not a Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Pecan. Hon. Pecan.
What about in front of pie?
Pecan.
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 Yeah.
Unless I'm making fun of Southerners.
I think I might say pecan sometimes. I think it depends on the context. In front of pie, it's always pecan.
Pecan.
But if I'm eating them out of a can, I think I'm saying pecans.
That's weird.
I don't think you are. I think you want to be.
No, I do.
I think you're a...
I just don't eat them a lot.
You want to be Southerner.
Maybe.
I kind of want to be a Southerner.
Apricot or apricot?
I think I want to be an apricotter, but apricot seems easier to say, so I don't know.
I think I've always said apricot.
I think I'm apricot, too. Apricot, it sounds a little snooty. Just like data or data.
Or apricot data.
That sounds like a company in Silicon Valley. Okay, I already know the way you're going to answer this one. And if you answer opposite, I know that you're just pulling my leg. Leisure versus...
Leisure.
Leisure.
No, I'm a leisure world type of girl.
if you honestly say leisure...
Mm-mm.
I'm looking at the chat right now.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are agreeing with the way we say these words. Apricot... pecan, Lieutenant Commander Data.
You don't need to read back the chat.
If you say leisure,
yeah
everybody, everybody's leisure. Everybody's leisure.
Leisure.
Okay, this is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Handkerchief versus handkerchief.
Chiff.
Chiff.
Chiff, right?
Handkerchief.
Yeah. Have you heard people say any of these way,
handkerchief.
Though? I had a teacher that used to say, at your leisure, and he thought it was so amusing in college.
Was he saying it ironically?
Kinda.
Well, that didn't count.
Yeah.
I've heard kerchief,
but not
handkerchief.
I've heard kerchief. I've never heard kerchief. Yeah.
I've heard kerchief. Adult versus adult.
Like an adult beverage?
Adult.
Mm-hmm.
An adult beverage?
An adult beverage?
No.
Or adult?
Adult.
Yeah, it's adult.
Duh.
U-H-D-U-H-L-T.
Adult.
Adult.
Duh.
Often versus...
Often.
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 It has to be. Do you know any... Another question here. Do you know anybody that says it often?
Most people... I don't know. Yeah, probably.
This is a tough one, especially based on the way that it's written. And it really could go either way. O-U-R.
Our.
Our or R?
Our.
Our.
Are you coming over to...
Our.
Our house?
O-W-E-R.
You sure?
Mine is more one syllable. Our. But
you're still getting there.
But not or.
I absolutely, in the context of hey, are you coming over to our house? A-R-E is basically the way I'm saying that word. You coming over to our house? Absolutely do that.
No, our.
This one's going to be a divider of people. Either versus?
Either.
Either.
It depends.
Do you?
Yeah, I use both.
This one is...
I like either better.
I think I say either.
But I think I definitely use both of them.
Does anybody bagel? Does anybody say
bagel?
Bagel?
No,
I've never heard of that
before, but it's bagel.
Yeah,
like B A Y.
I grew up with kids who said this all the time, and it actually drove me crazy then. Crayon.
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 C-R-A-N.
Yep.
I have a friend. He might be listening right now. Called him Crowns.
I have a friend that I grew up with who may be listening as well, who did that.
Crowns?
Crowns, yep.
I think we used to make fun of him.
he also says instead of king, he says keen.
Like King James?
Things that end in ing, he says een.
Hmm.
That leads us to the next one. Bean or bin?
Bin.
Where have you been? Where have you been?
Bin.
Where have you been?
Where have you
been? Where have you been?
But would that be an Australian slash?
I've been studying apricot data.
Have you been eating a tomato?
You're pretty good at that. Caramel.
I'm big on this one.
Caramel.
No.
Caramel.
Caramel's wrong. It can be spelled C-A-R-M-E-L, but it's almost always spelled C-A-R-A-M-E-L. It's caramel.
Todd Sivia is weighing in on this, by the way.
What's he got?
Two words that are not on my list.
Uh-huh.
Warsh versus wash.
Wash.
We all know the correct pronunciation of that.
Todd, are you a washer?
He didn't say which one he is.
I'm going to say that he's a washer, and he knows washers.
We all know washers.
I think my grandma was a wash. Put it in the wash. She would also say fark. Instead of fork, and she'd be making dinner. We'd be setting the table, and we would just always be like, "What should we put on the table, Grandma? Should we put plates and spoons and knives and anything else?" Just to get her to say fark, and she'd always pick it up and be like, "These, put these things on the table."
She knew what you were doing.
Oh yeah, we were goofing around, but she was a farker.
Which, if you're having breakfast at her house, would she put syrup on the table or syrup?
Syrup.
Syrup? Syrup?
Heck yeah.
Oh, really?
Syrup, yeah.
Oh, syrup, you guys.
I'm an educated person, Ryan Wiggins.
I agree with you on caramel, even though I say caramel.
Caramel.
It should be caramel based on the way the word is written.
Yeah.
How do you spell syrup?
S-Y-R-U-P.
I also have an aunt whose name is Carmel. C-A-R-M-E-L.
Oh, my gosh.
A great aunt. This is my Australian grandmother's sister. And so it was like a point of interest in the family to qualify for family membership to differentiate between caramel and caramel.
You guys, aunt is on the list.
Aunt?
Aunt.
I'm not an aunter, but I know people.
Is that
who
a
are.
New England thing, aunt?
I don't know.
No.
It's probably cultural. It probably is based on culture, but I've always been aunt.
Okay, pronounce this one. We're running out of time, but A-N-T-I.
Anti.
Anti, yeah.
Not anti?
Depends.
So you can go both ways.
Sure.
AC/DC.
Yeah, I always say that.
Last one. Celtic versus Celtic.
Doesn't it matter what you're talking about?
It kind of does, because this is another if you're Boston. In Boston...
The only time I use Celtic is talking about the Boston basketball team.
Me too.
Which
everything else is Celtic.
He won't shut up about them. He just talks about the Boston Celtics all the time.
Oh, here comes Larry Bird again. That's what we always say. That's a whole office says that when
Brad's
around.
We always refer to Brad as the Larry Bird of radio.
Yes, we do.
What's your face?
Music isn't playing.
I was going to say, should we keep
talking? I'm clicking play.
Is the volume
up? We're out at 5650, but yeah, the volume's up and
trouble,
nothing's playing.
It's 5750.
All right, cool. I got about 16 to 18 more of these.
Let's go to a break. We'll be right back after this.
I wonder if you've